Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Brian, the podcast covering everything from engineering, mining, and mine waste management to whatever else may be on our minds. Pop in your headphones and don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. And now, here is your host, Brian Ulrich.
Hey everyone, this is Brian, and this is Behind the Scenes with Brian, and today I am joined by Ashok Ghosh. Ashok, how are you today?
I'm doing very well today.
Good, good. And what part of the world did we find you in?
Well, right now, I'm sitting in my home in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, wonderful.
But I come from India, the eastern part of India near Calcutta.
Okay.
And I was born in a state which is even east of like Calcutta, which is called Assam. And this is a state where we're very famous for tea garden. So
oh, nice.
Assam tea is very, very famous all over the world. And we every morning here, we do drink Assam tea. So that is something that we kind of inherited from the British. But so that is the place I come from. And I did my and after completing my class 10 and 12,
yeah,
then I moved to a university called IIT, which is Indian Institute of Technology. And at that time, that was in 1978, and it was a 5 years program. And I come from like a civil engineering family. My father is a civil engineer.
Mm.
My sister is a civil engineer. My brother is a civil engineer. I am civil engineering. Like I did my undergraduate in civil engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I remember when I was a little kid, like maybe middle school, my father, he was posted as a PWD engineer, means Public Works Department.
Okay. Yeah.
So he'll go to site and he has this Jeep. And I was I'll always try to go with him to see what is happening in the site. So from early on, I was almost like a hands-on person, seeing things, what is happening. So that is where my interest lies.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Quite the education in your family.
Yeah. So it was a more like engineering. Yes. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So I completed my undergraduate. It was a 5 years program from 78 to 83.
Yeah.
In 83, then I came to Washington State in Pullman for doing my master's in structural engineering.
Hmm.
So after the master's, then I went back and started teaching in the same university, IIT. And then when I was teaching at IIT, I also did my PhD. So I was doing together, as a faculty member, also doing my PhD, which I did in 1993. So that is where, my education ended. And then I was kind of since the education is over now, I can take care of my family. And I got married in 1998. Not 1989, not 98, 89. So we are now, this year we'll be celebrating our 35th marriage anniversary. So we are planning to go to Alaska. That is the plan is happening now.
Well, okay. Good for you. Good for you. So did you go right from India to Socorro, or was there an in-between?
Yeah. So, when I was teaching at IIT Kharagpur, every 5 years, I get a 2 years of, I think they call it leave. So you can take leave for 2 years.
Wow.
And so in 1994, I came to Southern Illinois University in Pullman and in the mining department. So,
Hmm.
and so yeah, so I stayed there for 2 years as a postdoc, and I was working with the Clean Coal Institute. So they had this fly ash, and we were my I was in the mining department, and I was mainly dealing with this fly ash based concrete, and adding some fiber, the polyethylene fiber, and then making it a some structural member. So they in the underground mines, they have this they call it a ventilation blocks, so big blocks in a ventilation, and these are very, very lightweight. So we're trying to find out if we can, and that fly ash is very, very high in ash content, so it was not a good flyer, good material for cement industry, and that is why we wanted to see how we can make a product out of that. We were making some posts and some crib of different densities to be put in the underground mines in the, as a ventilation block. So that is what I spent like 2 years working on various kinds of how to get a strand, how much fly ash and what sort of fly ash, all of those things for 2 years. Then I went back again in 1996. Then in 2001, I got a chance again to come here. This time I came to UNM, and I was involved in two projects. One is with the DOT, Department of Transportation. So they have this NAFTA, in the southern border of New Mexico and Mexico. So they have got this these bridges. They wanted to make it a smart bridge. So they, because some of those trucks are very, very heavy with axle, and so they were those trucks, they were kind of deteriorating those highways, to a great extent. So that's why they wanted to see if we can have a like a way station, but then it will be like under the bridge, and as soon as the truck will go over this bridge, so there will be a monitor which will tell, okay, yes, so this bridge, this truck, the axle loads are within the limits, so everything is green, so the truck can go without stopping. And if the weight of this axle weight is more than what the prescribed limit, then there'll be a they'll take a picture of this, and then it will be sent to the inspection center like that. So that is what one of the project I was involved at that time. And this was in 2001. And other project we was I was with the Los Alamos, UNM and Los Alamos, they had this project from Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, to simulate accident scenario. Supposing in a nuclear power plant, if the core cooling that facility, supposing for some reason it gets stopped for some reason, so then what it can do, what sort of failure can happen. So we were trying to simulate this hydrology, like the hydraulics. Yes, so that is what I did for those 2 years. And then in 2003, I got this faculty position in the civil engineering department. In the fall of 2003, the following spring, I got a situation in a position in the mechanical department as a tenure track. So since then, I'm in the mechanical department. And so that is my story.
Yeah, it's an interesting path that you took.
Yes.
Yeah, so what classes do you teach?
So right now, as I have said, I'm a again, when I was in IIT teaching, I also did a lot and a large number of industrial projects. So, including three World Bank projects and then other projects. And so I was always, as I was saying, like from my childhood, I was with my father in the field. So I was very, very, applied person. And then when I was in UNM, so I got a chance, opportunity to teach engineering economics. So I taught that Indian economics for 1 year, that means 2 semesters at UNM. And then when I moved to UNM New Mexico Tech, then I started teaching that class along with my other classes. So I will teach classes like finite element method. So that's a technique that we use, and that was also in my PhD was based on my finite element analysis. And so I teach that. I will teach like construction planning and management. I will teach. I will teach building materials. I will teach strength of materials. And my favorite class is like composite structures. So I teach composite structures along with right now in the mechanical department, I have taught machine element design. I have taught like advanced finite element methods, again, engineering economics, strength of materials, thermodynamics. So
Yeah,
these are
okay.
some of the classes I taught.
Wow, okay. It's quite a bit.
Yeah, now I think that now everything is kind of settled. So nowadays I teach only two classes, no, three classes. One is your engineering economics. I'm still teaching engineering economics to all the different disciplines, and then I will teach composite structures. I will teach also the advanced finite element method. So that is these are some of the classes that I teach almost on a regular basis.
Okay. Do you have any idea how many students there are in the structural engineering
In
program there?
New Mexico Tech. So instruction, which is a graduate level class. I think maybe three or four, not much. So our graduate program is not very big, but
Yeah, because they come from civil engineering as the undergrad, right?
you
And
are
then,
okay.
gotcha. Okay. Ashok, that's a interesting story that you have. So, I came across your name in a recent, I think it was a Gold Pen New Mexico Tech alumni magazine, where we're talking about a invention or a device that you've been looking into, and you call it a green forward osmosis device. Could you
Yes.
describe that to me?
Yeah, so what happened is that in 2006, when in New Mexico Tech, we also have a research a wing called PRRC, which is Petroleum Research Recovery Center. So you're familiar with that. So they also, in Southeast New Mexico, in fact, in Florida, in Texas, in many places, this whenever you will explore oil, it comes with a lot of water, so we call it a produced water. Yeah, so produced water is something they generate in the range of maybe about like 500 million barrels a year. It's a very high volume.
Yeah, and it's usually salty, right? That's in a
Yes, it is
brine
very, very
reddish.
salty. So, and then everybody is trying to see how it can be clean and can be used. So that is the challenge that everybody is like in the in who's ever will generate oil and gas, so we'll have this issue, and we'll also be spending a lot of research, a lot of their resources to see if they can clean this so that they can reuse this water. So in 2006, and in New Mexico Tech, this PRRC, so they have developed in at that time a membrane called geolite membrane. And that membrane was very, very, I would say, it's a cylindrical membrane, but very, very strong in a sense that it can take a lot of pressure, and as a result, and it was in the lab scale when they did test in the lab, so they got very good results, and so they thought probably this geolite membrane can be used to clean some of this produced water. So that was kind of the hypothesis at that time. And so at that time, Pete Domenici, he was our one of the senator, and he was almost like a very, very senior, and he was very influential. So and everybody in New Mexico, cleaning produced water is a big issue, and so it caught his attention also. So he was able to got some funding. Not sorry, I made a mistake. So before that, I think Navy got interested, and they thought, okay, so maybe we can find out if geolite membrane can be used to clean produced water in a reverse osmosis setting. So that is the original intention, was to use in a reverse osmosis setting geolite membrane that the PRRC have developed for cleaning produced water. So they got some money, New Mexico Tech got some money, and then they were, because I am a very, very, as I have said, that very close to this industry. So when our VP research, Ben Romero, so he kind of contacted me, see, do you like to see if you can do some work on this direction? And I said that yes, I can try. So basically, 2006, that is when we started trying to see if this geolite membrane can be used in a reverse osmosis setting to clean this produced water. We got the produced water, and then we bought a small trailer, like a, I think about 20, not 20, maybe about 15 feet long trailer. We put everything inside that trailer, reverse osmosis, and then we started doing the tests with produced water, and then we did not see. This geolite membranes are so, the perforations in the geolite membrane is so small, but it's very uniform, but at the same time it's very, very small. As a result, we did not see any throughput. So basically it was like almost like impermeable to the produced water. So as a result, we could not go any further, and there's no point pursuing something that because we don't have any throughput. So that was in the first year, in the end of the first year. So then Navy, they have this in a workshop where they invite all those various PIs who are working at different places to kind of share their knowledge and experience, So it was at in Las Cruces on that particular year, 2007, I think, 2007 probably, yes, at the beginning of 2007. And then I went there and I presented. I told them that, we are nowhere. I mean, we have got nothing. We have the money, but we have one more year to go. But then we do not know what to do because we don't see any, throughput. So I don't want to waste the money. I probably have to go, return the money back to a Navy because there's no economics. So
That'd be a
then,
shame.
so in the same, workshop, there is a group from Yale University, and so they also came and they presented their technology. And then when I presented my with all this negative stuff, then he Robert, so their PI, so he came to me and asked me like, Rashad, why don't you try? You have money, you have 1 year. Why don't you try for osmosis? It's something new, and we've been working, and we got some good results. So you might get some good results. So but I said, okay, because we our proposal was for our reverse osmosis, I have to get a yes from our program manager. So then, once the workshop was over, then I kind of had a very discussion with our program manager. Then we invited him to our New Mexico Tech campus, and showed him everything that in our trailer, what, and showed him these experiments and then everything. And he kind of got convinced that yes, so that is make sense that at this point there is no point pursuing our reverse osmosis with this geolite membrane. So then I told him that I met this in a group from Yale, and so he was telling me maybe we should try for osmosis. So what do you think? He said, oh, why don't you try it? There's nothing harm, no harm. So I went to Yale University. I kind of got a very good tour of their the facility, and then came back. And then luckily at that time, so there were a graduate student in the civilian department, and she was she did not have funding, and she is a she had interest to do work with the water, water treatment, things like that. So everything matches. Then I told Hilda, so she that I can support you like the money part, and then we have got faculty member from civil. So basically it will be a joint project between civil and mechanical, and you'll be getting the funding from mechanical with me, and then you'll be working on that. So I think that was a perfect thing. So then we started doing some tests in the lab, and luckily we were very happy to see in the year one we got some good numbers. And so that means like at 1 year, so Navy money was over, and Navy and the duration is also over. So with this, the results are so good, then our New Mexico Tech Ben Romero, he was the VP. So then he talked to Pete DiMenici. Okay, like, look, we have got some very good results. And so we might be able to clean produce water from Lee County. So then Pete DiMenici says, okay, I'll find out how we can get you some money. So then he got some congressional discretionary fund through Lee County. And that started from 2008 to about 11. So by the time, and now the first thing that we did, we all know that whenever you use membrane, the membrane gets clogged because of all the salt getting into this. So how to reduce that? So that is the whole, when you don't get any throughput, it is that is the thing that you do, is to see how you can what can you do so that way there is no clogging, so that way there is no deposition of the salt particles into this membrane. And so then I thought, we thought probably, maybe we can add a paddle, some kind of paddle, so that it's going to sweep the surfaces of this membrane, so that way whenever this salt molecule, with the water molecule, will try to go through this membrane. It's a semi-permeable membrane, it's like and then all the salt, you can probably sweep it from the surface, and it might probably bring the randomness in the volume, and that might be able to give you good throughput. And then we started making an arrangement how we can do that, and so we were able to add some concentric cylinders with cutouts, and the cutouts will be filled with this membrane, semi-permeable membrane, and then in the middle we'll have a motor, and that motor is going to support a bridge. From the bridge we're hanging those pedals, and then the whole thing is going to rotate, and then we'll see what happens. So basically we did that in the lab. We just the four chambers, and then we have got in the middle. And again, we were lucky, we got very good results. So then we kind of scaled it up, bigger one. And then so we were supposed to do a demonstration, a field demonstration. And since we're getting such a good results with the with this, again, we know that produced water has got suspended solid, and then it has got a dissolved solid. It also has got a lot of organics. And this organics is kind of very difficult to deal with. And as a result, so then we, since we're getting good results, we just simulated salt water, which is almost like your TDS, that part of the produced water. So we started concentrating on that. And so as a result, so we did perfect that part, but then other part, then we had to get a subcontractor to do that. So that is how we came to the paddle, and then got very good results again, and that is what gave us gave New Mexico Tech two patents, one for the process itself, and the other one is for the apparatus.
So what makes it green? Why is it called a green process?
So what happens is that in reverse osmosis, when so in reverse osmosis, what we do is that you have a semi-permeable membrane, okay? In one side you have the feed water, other side you have the we create a solution called a draw solution, okay? And draw solution can be many anything, okay? But various, like in Yale University, they were working with ammonium bicarbonate for a long time, so they got very good results. So I said, okay, let us try that. There's no point reinventing something, So we started using the ammonium bicarbonate also, since they have done that, they got good results. So that means that we have got a semi-permeable membrane. One side we have got ammonium bicarbonate, and then other, in other side you have got the feed water, which is the whatever is the produced water or the brackish water. At that point, we were kind of concentrating on the brackish water rather than produced water, because produced water also has total suspended solids and also organics, and we know that our membrane is not going to be good for, and this sweeping is also not going to be as effective enough with the organics. So that's why we kind of then started concentrating on only on the dissolved salt, TDS. So it's no longer a produced water. Now we are looking at just a brackish water. So now we know that energy is a big issue for reverse osmosis. As you increase the TDS of the water, the requirement for the energy becomes like exponentially increases. Okay. And so as a result, when the concentration is in the range of maybe 40, 45,000 ppm, then you will see that this whole thing will probably fall apart. Like you will not get any more economics than you are looking for. So, but here in our reversal for osmosis, we can create a draw solution much higher concentration. So we can, that means like we can, as far as our produced water, so brackish water is concerned, we can go up to much higher your ppm. So we have done up to 120,000, so which is like 4 times the seawater. And for, as I have said, that for reverse osmosis probably 40, 45,000, so it will probably stop. So we can go much further. Okay, that means we can get much more water out of the same, if you use for osmosis and or reverse osmosis. So with the for osmosis, you'll be able to get more water. Your now concentrated brine is also volume is reduced, because it's not super concentrated like a hyper saline brine. So that is also, and also we were, once the water goes from the feed side to the draw side, we'll break it up. And we'll break it up like ammonium bicarbonate is very easy. It's like a volatile substance, not so breaking up. Also, we could do it at a temperature like maybe 65 degrees centigrade. We really do not have to go up to very high temperature to break it up as a result, but the energy requirement is also much less. So that is how we are, and then this energy can also be generated with some of the solar, so much solar you can, so that is our operating temperature about like 60, 62 degrees centigrade. So that can be raised by some of the renewable energy sources. So that's how whole thing can be very green in that respect.
So, Ashok, what is next? What do you plan to do next with this
Yes. So
device?
next is right now there are a few, and I see some hopes. One is I have we have been trying to, first thing is that first thing is to module, make it into modules. So we have designed some modules. One is like about 5,000 ppm, 5,000 gallons per day, very small. Okay, supposing if you have got a community of like maybe each day, supposing you get 100 gallons per day per person. So then if you have got like 5,000, like if you have a 50 mem people community, so then you can use that. Okay, so that is what we are designing, and I've been writing some proposals. So and hopefully I'll get one soon. If I get one, so then the whole idea is to construct this modular unit, And we are thinking of taking it to a Navajo Nation, you know, which is a small, they
Okay,
are
yeah.
distributed and scattered. So
Okay.
we'll take it to a community, and then we are going to drill a well, get the brackish water, and
Yeah.
put it through this
Yeah.
whole system and show them, you know, it works. So that's the
That
thing
sounds
is coming up now, very
yeah,
in the
that sounds
short term.
wonderful. Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
Yes. So, and then of course, in future, you probably know in New Mexico, our governor, she has got this idea of, she call it a SWS, that is strategic water supply. What she is trying to do is to create some new water from the brackish water, which is below 2,500 feet.
Okay.
Because at present, you know, if it is below 2,500 feet, that is not claimed by anybody. So it's like nobody is in the owner like that. Now what she
Okay.
is saying, okay,
Okay.
I'm going to clean this water, okay, and I'm going to create some new water out of that by cleaning this brackish water, which is, we never use it, okay, it's not in anybody's kind of, as a result. So she's calling it a new water. And once that has been created, then the New Mexico government is going to buy that water from this industry, from businesses who will clean it, and then give it to some of the industry which is coming to New Mexico for other purposes. Maybe, they are getting some businesses coming to New Mexico for manufacturing PV panel, then hydrogen, hydrogen, and then also Intel is also trying to expand. So they need all of those people, the businesses, they need good water, and New Mexico doesn't have that additional water. So that's what that can be a source for those purposes.
Yes, I know it'd be a ways down the road, but there's also some very large applications for what you're talking about, either desalinization for Los Angeles
Yes.
or for large mining operations as well. And
Yes, exactly.
I
So,
realize that would be down the road a little bit, but it has to be somewhere in the
yeah,
just
exactly.
in
So
the
let me.
dreaming.
As, yeah, I know that you are also a very, very applied person. So you have so much context and all over the world. So I know that this is an issue everywhere, and it's not just
Yeah.
in New Mexico or
Yeah.
in Colorado. So yes, as soon as we get some more confidence in this technology, and then who knows, you can take it to anywhere you want. So that will be a
Yeah.
good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. Well, Ashok, I really enjoyed finding out about your technology and where it came from and where it's going. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about today?
I think for as you have said, that your audiences are mining, mostly
Yeah.
they are with the mining industry. So, and you are so much every kind of every detail, sorry, what is going on in the mining industry. So please let me know, and I'll keep you posted on how my
Yeah.
our if I get some funding, and if we do some demonstration, and then keep you up to date, so that way whenever you will see that, oh, this now we can use it in this place, that, or whatever it is, so we can work jointly, not a problem. Yeah, the whole idea, we spend so much, DOE, Navy has spent almost like $2 million, and if it is applied or used in the market, so that is the best use of the whole money that they have spent. So it'll be everybody's good, that we can do that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay. Well, that's great, Ashok. I know you are a busy person. I don't want to take up your whole day, but I really appreciate you spending some time with us and updating us on your project.
No, thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, I think that is true, that it is very interesting, and I would like to see, it has been implemented in various industries, like and including your mining industry. Yes.
Yeah, I look forward to that. And
Okay.
yeah, Shuk, once again, thanks so much and hope
Oh,
to
thank
catch up
you.
with you
Yes.
again sometime soon.
Yes,
Okay.
same here. So thank you. And you are also working, and you are, now that you are writing a thesis, so I know that you'll be so busy.
Yeah. So
what
it's
is your
enjoyable.
topic? Now, what is your topic for your thesis?
It is liquefaction of unsaturated tailings.
Liquefaction of unsaturated tailings. Oh, okay. So yeah, so that you are doing some experiments or is like computer
We
simulation?
will soon, yeah. I've got a lab in Houston that's going to be helping me. It's more advanced testing than Socorro has the capabilities of.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, very nice, yes. So I know that this kind of very loop the topic itself shows that you know very, very complex, yes, it's going to be.
But Chuck, one of the my kind of side hustles, I work with a company that looks at commercialization of university inventions.
Okay.
Have you been approached by anybody trying to commercialize your device?
Yeah, so I think the whole hurdle is that, you know, we have what we have done in Lee County, the demonstration is for just 1,000 gallons a day system, very small one. We got good economics, and that is why we have to, and that is why right now we are going with this modular system. And then, you know, if we can, if we get the money, then we can probably put it in a system and kind of test it and get some data. And that shows that, yes, what we are saying, what we saw in Lee County, that in fact is we are getting again and again. And so that way, then others will be interested. So that is why I'm just right now concentrating on that small system, okay, and trying to do it as best as possible and trying to show that, yes, we can have the same kind of economics that we've been claiming. And if that happens, then I know but many would be interested to kind of you know go to the higher scale, maybe bigger scale. So that will happen soon.
Look forward to hearing about that.
Okay, yeah, I'll keep you know updated on that if something happens.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Chuck,
Okay.
thanks for spending some time with me today.
Not a problem. It was really a pleasure from my side also. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Bye. Well, that's it. I'm Brian, and this is Behind the Scenes with Brian. Until next time, keep on rocking.